Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ruthless Aggression. My name is Pierce. We would like to welcome you into the Barbershare Network. It's been a minute since we've been able to talk professional wrestling with you. I'm here as always with the boys Robert O'Neill, Christopher Novak. Gentlemen, how are y'all?
Doing well, man. You know, it's nice to be back. We've run into some issues the past few weeks, but you know, we're back and there's actually stuff to talk about. Most of it's bad, but you know,
hey, you know what? The discussion is discussion, right?
It's true.
Discussion is discussion. By the way, those issues being at me being deathly sick and then working like a dog. So, hey, we're all here though, and we're here to talk about the greatest thing in the world, which is professional wrestling. And when professional wrestling is good, like really good, and it's able to captivate you and lure you in and get your undivided attention, it really makes you, it really puts you in awe, some of the work that gets put in by the men and women that are performing on the screen. It really is an artwork. You know, it really is soap opera on screen when it's done right. Mm-hmm. And what we were able to see about a week ago in Chicago for Hell in a Cell in that main event with Cody and Seth was true art coming out on the screen between those two guys in that cell with Cody's just disgusting pec injury that, you know, kudos to Vince for seeing the money and for seeing that if they can work a safe style, Cody's in there with A1, number one right now in the entire goddamn world. They can protect him. We might have something here. And from top to bottom, I don't think I've seen a Hell in a Cell match that good in a minute. They, you know, all respect to Becky and Sasha last year, but that was a tremendous story, a tremendous match. It sucks that we won't be seeing Cody for about 9 months, or quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see when we see him. But what they were able to accomplish last Sunday, instant match of the year candidate, and really stamping home the fact that Cody Rhodes is a star. Man's a fucking star. And Seth Rollins is the best in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, it's weird because I think the first two matches were, you know, technically better or whatever, which makes sense because, you know, Cody, his body was all intact for them. But, like, you know, the story with this one, and, like, I don't even know that it was necessarily that good. Like, it's a cell match. I don't like when they bring weapons in and all that, you know, but
kind of cheapens the meaning of the cell, right?
Yeah, but even despite all that, like, it left us with something that we're going to remember for a very long time. You know, it got 5 stars from the Observer. That
5 stars?
Yeah. So, yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously Cody didn't have to go out there and do it. There are a lot of people who were very concerned. I don't want to police the safety of the wrestlers. I think, you know, that's, they're adults. They make the decisions they make. And from what I've heard, like, you know, once you tear it, you can't do much more damage to it anyway. So, but yeah, no, just the trilogy itself, you know, the chemistry they had with the Mania match with, you know, little to no practice with something. And I'm like, well, you know, that's a good moment. That's a great match. I don't know how they're going to top it. Then Backlash, you know, I think they might have topped it. You know, obviously working each other more. And, you know, and then this one just is completely different than the other two. And yeah, just something else, man. And, you know, Cody's a guy who is going to care a lot about, you know, his legacy and all that. It's very clear. And this is going to go a long way for that. And I think he can almost guarantee finally getting that, you know, title when he gets back. I mean, I'd be surprised if he's not the champion next year. Now, I think he was going to be sooner rather than later anyway. But now it seems like it. I mean, it could still be on track for WrestleMania if you know, if Rock's too busy with launching the XFL and all that, it could just be Cody and Roman. And I think it's maybe
if Rock's getting the ball rolling on Black Adam too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think Cody and Roman, I don't know that it's necessarily, you know, the marquee match of Rock and Roman, but it's not that far off.
I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not Rock. It's not the Rock. Cody's obviously not the Rock, but Cody's out. We obviously know now Cody is a superstar.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you will about him. And, you know, I mean, There's obviously some grating aspects or whatever, but I mean, yeah, it's pro wrestling.
Well, and here's the thing, like I mean, all the criticism of him last year in AEW was valid. I mean, he was, you know, kind of off on an island doing his own stuff. It didn't really fit in. Some people are just better fits elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not the only guy that we're going to see that, you know, that jumps from AEW to WWE and is a better
or
fit.
Or vice versa.
Exactly. So
I mean, it's just...
That's the importance of having these options and having people jump between the companies.
Exactly. And I mean, yeah, as far as the matches go, you know, you guys hit all the nails on the head. This is a great trilogy. Probably my favorite feud of the year so far. Even if it was very one-sided, mm-hmm. it still worked. It was still effective. Seth was always able to retain his heat. He obviously got it back on Monday after Cody was attacked with a sledgehammer. Thought that was a nice little the pedigree in the Hell in a Cell match was funny.
Yeah.
I think the sledgehammer use was a nice tribute. I think that was very Triple H, HBK of them. We saw that, of course, a couple years ago mm-hmm. On this podcast. So I think that was a good way to write it off. I think Cody walking out without medical attention was a big, you know, babyface thing for him that he probably wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I think it worked. I don't think he no-sold anything. He's just a freaking maniac.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is. I mean, it's unfortunate, I think, that he obviously suffered this injury at such an ill-fated time. And just because of how much momentum he was building up, but he's going to come back even bigger and stronger than he was before. So
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of attention squarely put on
him. It feels like it's going to probably be, you know, the Royal Rumble. And
I would say, yeah, but I would also say let's not set ourselves up for disappointment either at the same time.
Well, I agree. But I mean, if you can get him and Big E back in the Royal Rumble, that's, you know.
Well, I mean, I would like to spread out my surprises.
Well, that's fair, too. But
if you can't, because if you don't spread out your surprises, you get a situation like I think we'll talk about later.
That's fair.
But. Yeah.
But yeah, no, as far as trilogy, one of the better trilogies in recent memory. Really good stuff. They crushed it the whole time.
Very good. And, you know, obviously leaving the tether for when Cody comes back to basically pick it off and fully end it. Great work by the two of them. And then, yo, can we stop playing around with ourselves? If you're still on the fence right now, about who is best in the world from a professional wrestling standpoint in any company. Like, yo, we could still keep saying that it's Kazuchika Okada because Okada has the rep, and for years Okada has been putting it down in New Japan. Like, I get you. If you wanted to say AJ Styles, that's been waning for the last couple of years. Still great, but I don't think he's the best anymore. Kenny Omega is not wrestling right now, so it's hard to say Kenny Omega is the best in the world when he needs to go on the shelf and go get him right. Take your Kevin Durant year, go sit on the sidelines, and then when you come back, we can talk. But right now, man, the work Seth Rollins is putting in, you can't find me anybody on planet Earth right now who is consistently putting in the work that Seth is, not just like the in-ring, which is always been flawless, but he just seems like his character game is at another level right now. And it, to me, I don't think that it's a question for who the best in the world right now is. Seth.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I think, honestly, the only other two guys who have a case are the other two guys that were in the Shield. And I would probably put Roman, you know, third at this point just because of his workload this year. But
right.
Yeah, it's those three that are really leading men's professional.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a 1A, 1B, 1C thing, in my opinion. I would agree. I think, you know, I have my issues with AEW and we'll talk about them later. But Mox obviously is, you talked about fits.
Yeah.
He fits them like a glove and always has. So he's been doing really solid, really awesome work all year. So
Mox has been doing it in different companies on independence. He's been amazing this year. So that is crazy that you mentioned that, you know, they would be a 1A, 1B, 1C type of deal. The Shield, you know, we're coming up on 10 years since the debut of the Shield and just crazy to think about where they started to where they are now in complete contrast of what we all thought they would be. It's really insane. And people wanted Chris Hero in the
show.
Wow. Speaking of the Shield, let's go from one third of the Shield to another. And that's Roman Reigns, the undisputed WWE champion, has not defended that title since WrestleMania, beating Brock Lesnar. He actually will defend that this upcoming Friday when he meets Riddle. Be a competitive squash. I'm perfectly fine with that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited that he's coming back, and I, it's a big match. SmackDown has kind of lacked star power, so it's gonna be good to see him.
Very good point. SmackDown was really trash yesterday,
and that was I actually liked it yesterday. I haven't liked it the past few weeks, but
okay. I liked yesterday's episode because it was very wrestling centric, and you don't always get that from them.
Okay, facts.
So when it does happen.
Sorry, I was going to say, I thought the Intercontinental title match was really good.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great way to, obviously we all know Ricochet wasn't winning that match, but Ricochet fought like hell and,
correct.
And took the bump. So I thought that was great. Sami Zayn, Riddle, it was decent.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not anything we wouldn't see from them regularly.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as getting back to Roman, not being there, whatever, personally, I didn't mind it for Hell in a Cell. There's nothing that makes sense for him to be in a cell match, and you want to run the gimmick pay per view, make it the focal point.
Continue being your champion until next year WrestleMania.
So. Yeah, and I mean, Money in the Bank. I think if it didn't get moved, he probably would have been there. It seems like he wants to just do the stadium shows, but that got moved for a whole bunch of reasons that some of which are their fault and some are not. Most of them are, but you shouldn't try and run Vegas the same weekend as International Fight Week.
It's also 4th of July weekend.
Also that, yeah. And also flights are very expensive now everywhere.
And they get more expensive on 4th of July weekend, which goes back to don't run an event on 4th of July weekend.
Again, a lot of mistakes there, but I think Roman would have been there. It doesn't bother me, I think, as much just because I didn't mind it with Brock either. And if I had a problem with it now, it would look bad.
Yeah.
So, it just, SmackDown's – Roman not being there isn't SmackDown's biggest problem. It's that they don't have anyone to, pick up the slack when he's not there because they overcorrected with Raw last year, and Raw has five top guys.
And Drew had spent the first few months of the year feuding with Happy Corbin.
Yeah.
Which, say whatever you will about him, everyone knows where his placement is. It's not easy to run up there to that point. Unless, you're Roman in 2020 before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that they've done them. I don't think that they've done SmackDown any favors in that regard. They, like you said, they overcorrected. I think an easy way that they could have solved this probably was not having New Day and, the Brawling Brutes fight for 14 weeks or whatever it was. I don't know why you didn't just kind of shuttle Kofi up there or whatever. I mean, he's a proven commodity already. He's been WWE champion. Anyways, I don't mind it either as far as Roman goes. I will say my only thing here is that I wonder if Roman is the only person who's caught on to the game as far as the difference between these, pay-per-views that are in the arenas versus the stadiums.
Well,
and I wonder if they think that Roman is the only one who's going to catch on to the game. If it is true that he only wants to do stadium shows, we don't obviously know. It's all speculation.
Yeah.
But
Ronda's going to be at Money in the Bank.
Ronda's going to be in the Money in the Bank. That's correct. Becky's on the poster. Right, she's going to be in money. She's going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Probably will.
Seth will be in the Money in the Bank ladder match
Charlotte
as well.
Charlotte might be there.
Could be, possibly. Don't know.
Sasha
we'll
is obviously a.
Out of the picture.
Yeah, and Cody's out. So, I mean, yes and no, I think.
I think yes and no. So if that becomes a problem, that's a problem for them to solve. That's a problem that they would have inflicted upon themselves. And it's not a problem that I personally care about. It's not my career. It's not my money. I don't care if these people are going after more money because they set the system up that way.
I think the next non-stadium show, though, after Money in the
Bank, is Survivor Series. Yeah. Yes, correct.
So
that is
Survivor
correct.
Survivor Series is a confirmed stadium show.
No, it's an arena show.
So they go. It's Nashville, and that's a stadium, and then they have the UK, and then they go to Saudi Arabia and
in November. Yeah,
Survivor Series. I don't think
they don't have an October pay per view. No, they don't.
So wait.
They might announce one though. That's a long
Clash
time.
Of Champions, TLC.
Nope.
Extreme might be Rules.
December. Well, no, there's. None I don't know if there's a December pay per view this year either.
But those three, like, we're just gonna scrap those.
I guess so. Which I mean, is fine. Like, if you really want to do this stadium show thing, that's fine. But you know, go all in with it. I guess. But there's nothing.
But the problem with that is your stadium shows, 2/3 of your next shows are in North America.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
You're not doing a lot for your domestic market.
Nashville, July 30th. Cardiff, September 3rd. Nothing from September 3rd. That's two whole months.
From November 5th to
November 5th in Crown Jewel. And then you're going to run TD Garden in Boston, which I might want to go to that Survivor Series.
My thing with October, though, and it is important to remember – that's a big month for them television-wise, so they'll probably think to themselves, okay, we'll cash in with the draft and whatever other shows we do. Remember as well, although it is listed on there, you don't think that they're going to do it. I do. The United Center Raw is on there.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't know if they're going to do anything special for that show, but they might load up the card. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to want to do the thing where they tarp off the United Center.
That would be pretty – also, honestly – not that they feel any embarrassment or shame, but that would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe they won't add an October pay-per-view. Yeah. I don't know. It's
a busy television month.
Yeah.
For them.
But, yeah.
Not to justify, because they should do pay-per-views.
Yeah. I think Roman's going to be around more is the main point here.
Yeah.
I don't know that
he'll think so, too.
Maybe he'll show up on Raw and SmackDown as they build to probably Orton at SummerSlam.
Well, he's definitely going to be there at the Garden.
Yeah.
We can pretty much already figure he's going to show up. I mean, they're not going to do a Garden show without Roman Reigns.
Yeah. So I think he'll be around more now. Like, it's fine. They've been fine so far. Just, you know, the problem they ran into was missing a bunch of top stars at once.
Yes.
This just, it's so wild to me. I'm sorry. I'm just still blown away at the whole pay-per-view portion of it. I'm sorry. I've been trying to find the live event schedule for a minute, and I can't find the live event schedule. So the United Center show, I know it is in October, but what date?
I think it's for Raw. I think I want to say it's the 17th because I know the 7th.
That sounds about right. October.
Yeah, because I know the 7th they're doing the Enterprise Center in St. Louis.
Yeah,
that's a Friday.
Right now, their Sundays are just strictly house show locations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, they're actually running a lot of big buildings that month. Yeah, they might just not do a pay-per-view.
Yeah, because they're doing St. Louis, they're doing Chicago, they're doing...
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Is in the beginning of November.
Yep.
Dallas.
Yep.
Louisville.
Yep.
Charlotte.
Yep.
So they're running their hot markets. So maybe.
Might have.
Maybe the fact that they're on Peacock right now, it's like, yo, it doesn't matter. Let's just put the resources in the TV. But they don't put the resources in the television.
Yeah,
correct.
That's the thing.
It just ends up being,
so mind numbing. Big development last Monday night, the night after defeating their opponents at Hell in a Cell, Judgment Day added a new member. They added Finn Balor, as I put on the. The rundown here. They added Finn Balor and then they kicked Edge out as the leader of Judgment Day. So Finn's in, Edge is out. And I'm not understanding this because I thought this was Edge's thing. I thought this was Edge's, you know, heel vehicle. So.
Yeah, because it kind of felt like they turned Edge back because, you know, they lost Cody, but. They kind of wrote Edge off where he's not going to be around for a while. So it's not like you're going to have him there every week. It's strange. Like, and then the Fightful report was kind of, you know, Edge didn't like the direction they wanted to go.
Cause they wanted to go supernatural with it apparently. And I wouldn't have understood that with their current crop.
Yeah.
My thoughts on this the entire time was that this was just like the Brood, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a modern day version of it. They're not vampires, but they're obviously pretty damn close. That's the aesthetic that they're looking for. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have done the supernatural thing, but I think this will be beneficial for one person who desperately needs those benefits, and that's Finn Balor.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with that.
Immediately, as soon as it happened, I was very excited because Finn is literally leading a faction.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's doing something now.
Yeah, he's doing something,
and he made the turn. They finally had him do the fucking turn on main roster television. Yeah. And now he gets a really good faction in Priest as his Fale and Rhea Ripley, who, I mean, I still don't know how that dynamic is going to work when you get to, true faction territory. You might have to add somebody, but as the female talent group, it's fucking excellent. So you have something there. With Finn being the leader group. Like, that's the one thing that does excite me. I might not understand the switch, but we're here with Finn leading a faction, which is where I've always, at the end of the day, wanted it to be. So
yeah, and I think this is the first time he's been heel on the main roster, too.
Yeah.
So, it'll be good. Like, again, I don't have a problem with that part. I just have a problem with, it's weird that they kicked Edge out instead of just adding Finn, and it's weird that they wanted to go in that direction. And I mean,
didn't let it play out. Like, there wasn't a true reason for Edge to be kicked out.
Like, no, because it's not like they were losing. No. Yeah. I don't mind that. I mean, the occasional shock is fine. It's just when you take a moment to step back, it's like, okay, well, that's interesting. Because this reads too much to me like a situation where it didn't work backstage and they had to make a snap decision instead of just being like, okay, it may not be working, but we'll build to it. That would be, in a perfect world, that would be the preferred way.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, but I do understand the criticisms.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a big picture thing with Edge. It's going to be 3 years since he came back next year already, and his contract's going to be up. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch because I don't know how much more there is for either side to do. He's had his title pictures and stuff. He might just want to go do tag the Christian for a year or whatever.
But he also might just be there because they always keep their ducks in a row.
That too. I mean, it could be either one.
They always keep their ducks in a row when it comes to their legends. I mean, especially the ones who they have themselves besides Christian, because never cared about Christian that way.
It'll just be interesting to see, because obviously Luke, Edge, and Finn would probably be the big SummerSlam match. But then from there,
I think you can still – there's still some fruit on the vine there, I would say.
Yeah.
For some other things that they could still do Edge Priest.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a running list of they haven't done Drew Edge. I'm sure they'll want to do Drew Edge.
Never going to get my Brock and Edge match.
You might get Brock Edge. It might happen. You never know.
Yeah, at some point.
You never know. It still hasn't been done.
But yeah, I'm looking. I like the group more with Finn as a leader than Edge.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a net positive.
I think what I'm most intrigued about is that they're obviously not going to use Edge's theme.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be stupid and silly. So does that mean that we've heard Catch Your Breath for the final time?
And you just go back to Metalingus.
Well, yeah. I mean Finn's theme.
Have we heard
Finn's theme for the last time? Because we know what happens.
I'm done with that. I've been done with that.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's fair.
Sorry. The Switch should have switched that shit when he became a heel in NXT. But
it's fair. Fair.
But yeah, the question now becomes like, does Edge stick with his new Alter Bridge theme or his old Alter Bridge theme? And honestly, I'd rather him keep the new one.
Same. I think it can work because they'll probably have him remove the first part about it,
mm-hmm.
the quote from him or whatever at the start of it,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll probably just keep it that way. They can probably find a way to babyface that theme.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's been about a month since Sasha Banks and Naomi walked out on the WWE. Shout out to those ladies for standing firm for 1 month. Where does the women's division stand now?
I mean,
we've reached this point.
I think for the most part, any problems that the women's division would encounter, I think, wouldn't necessarily be on their absence.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily asking that, because I mean, like, yeah. It's not just them. Like, Charlotte went and got married, so she's not there. You're seeing some girls come back. Lacey Evans is coming back. Shotzi's actually getting TV time. You know, who knows if that's a domino? It might not be. But, you know, how are you feeling about the division right now?
It feels like the floor decreased, I would say. Because when you have people like Sasha and Naomi, your floor is pretty high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because whatever you get is going to probably be very high quality. Without them, they have a lot. They have too much inexperience, I think. And it's not necessarily her fault, but Shotzi's not commanding enough for me because I think they've completely miscast her.
Yeah.
And because I was thinking that as she was walking down to the ring for her promo with Ronda, I'm like, does this actually work, or is she somebody who should still have her tank and be firing it at heels?
Yes.
Because I had high hopes for her. I think that her presentation was pretty nailed dead on in NXT. I thought that, you know, yeah, maybe she wasn't going to be somebody who could go bar for bar with somebody in a promo, but she was going to have enough, you know, popularity where it would be fine. She's not the type to be doing those kinds of promos. I don't know why they have her doing that. And then it's going to be annoying if they decide that, you know, she's not making enough progress or whatever. And it's going to be like, okay, you put her in a position to not succeed.
Yeah.
And then that's what you get.
Yeah.
So Raquel, I mean, I can't see Raquel or think about Raquel without thinking about a certain tweet that she liked about Kyle Rittenhouse. So my opinion on her is just always in the dirt.
Fair.
And I know that
that's
maybe
the
that, maybe
one,
that makes me,
but like
maybe that makes so me hypocritical, but I don't care.
Yeah,
she has so many other reasons to not.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's just like I can't.
Was the Kyle Rittenhouse tweet like recently? Like, did she support him getting a fake scholarship to A&M?
It was definitely the one where he was like acquitted or whatever the hell.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
And yeah, it's never left my subconscious, and I just can't look at her the same way. And again, maybe that's hypocritical, but I just, and she's not, I don't think that, and again, this is hypocritical hypocrisy, she's not good enough to make me ignore it either.
Right.
So, or even think about ignoring it.
Right.
Consider ignoring it. Like, and I mean, Zaya, they had her going, they pulled her back, and now they had her going again, but they had her lose to Lacey, who they are so clear as day pushing, and I just have no real interest in that because I don't like her character.
Yeah.
No, not the new one.
SmackDown is, their floor is decreased. They need to have cooler heads prevail for both sides. And for the love of God, please break the Bayley glass already. My God.
Why are we waiting?
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen in Money in the Bank, I just don't
They're
know
waiting
anymore.
for the big crowd to do it. And I'm just like, why the fuck do we have to keep waiting for the big crowds?
Yeah.
Just please. Fucking do it already. If that's all you can come up with, if that's the best writing you can do, get the fuck off the staff. Get somebody in that could come up with a better way to reintroduce a star like Bayley, so she's not sitting on the shelf while everyone else is dying.
Yeah,
because the fans
miss her. That's really the thing.
Go like, on Twitter. The fans fucking miss her. Why the fuck is she still out? I mean, I'm seriously wondering that. Because if it's not, there's, you know, she needs another week to kind of get ready. She's not in game form. I get that. But if she's 100%, she can go. Come up with something for her. I know something she can do. Because I kind of want to see Natty a little bit more right now. I'm gonna let you.
Yeah, because she could easily come back after that Ronda Natty match of Money in the Bank, and you know,
let me look at
Ronda
for a little bit more, and then
take game.
She can go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, but yeah, I mean, any posts that she ever has now are just out in San Jose. It's not like she's down in Florida working at the Performance Center. I'm sure she is. I'm sure she does. But
yeah,
she's often home. She's just watching the Warriors. So I don't know what they're doing, what the communication is there. I can't imagine that after what happened with Sasha, it's gotten better.
Yeah.
I don't know anything, but I mean, you don't need to know anything to know the relationship that those two have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just like, come on, just get her back already. Your show and your division is not as good as you think it is. And that's not anyone in the, I don't think that's talent's fault. That's their fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Money in the Bank was about 3 weeks from now. In Las Vegas.
Yes, 3 weeks from now.
We've seen a little bit of a hit in terms of roster quality. And obviously, this is a big event. It's one of WWE's bigger events because it sets the stage for the next year and who they're looking at as people who deserve to hold those top straps on either side. It feels like this is going to be an anticlimactic Money in the Bank. But who do you think on both sides should win Money in the Bank?
It feels like for the women, it would probably, well, Rhea made sense, but they're doing Rhea and Bianca.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Because it's, okay, so who do we want or who do we think is going to?
Yeah.
Or who should? Because I think there's a few different answers there, yeah, especially for the women.
Because I think, you know, they've been pushing Alexa, they've been pushing Liv. I don't know if they're going to make them a tag team in the tag
they
team
should.
Tournament or whatever.
They should make, at minimum, they should make them babyface allies.
Yeah.
Those two are super popular. They're gaining steam. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
True professionals. Just let them run.
Yeah, I don't think Asuka winning it would do anything. I don't think Becky's going to win it, but I guess she could.
She could. She could.
You know,
she
Lacey could. Has been featured heavily and qualified already.
Yeah.
If
anyone gets a platform like Lacey Evans, you know, that'll be your indicator. But if they keep thinking, again, this is just a future thing. Remember, they always telegraph this shit.
Yeah.
But I think should... If I were in charge, I would give it to Liv. She's very popular. I honestly think at this point she's almost close to being ready to take that ball and run.
Mm-hmm.
She might be. I know that people have raved about her and whatnot in the past. Obviously, she's been a fan favorite. She's one of my favorites. She is absolutely, through June 11th, 2022, my most improved player or most improved wrestler of the year.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan,
by far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
leaps and bounds better.
Yes. For the men?
For the men,
I don't even know.
You know, feels like Owens could factor in.
Owens, Seth
will be there.
Yeah, for me it's Seth.
Probably, just without overthinking it. I guess it could be Drew if he ends up in the match, which I imagine they're gonna end up doing that. They'll just, you know.
Yeah.
Wait till after SummerSlam and be like, "Hey, I'm cashing in for a Clash at the Castle."
Yeah, so have a whole month-long month-long build, and just, you know, if you want to do the title turn there, fine.
Do I think you could just do Roman and Drew without doing that? Yeah, probably.
But you also, to be fair,
that builds it in. I mean,
it builds it in, and also we have not had a. I'm not counting. Was Braun an honorable cash in? I don't care, but was it
technically?
I whatever. We haven't had an honorable cash in on the level of Cena RVD as Roman Drew would be, and that's probably even bigger.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't actually. That's a good question.
Sandow did it.
He well, okay, but I'm talking about the stuff for the main title, not Big Gold.
Mm.
No disrespect to Big Gold in 2013, but no one cared about it.
Yeah.
But that's actually would Cena RVD was Cena RVD bigger or will this be bigger?
Yeah, I mean, probably this.
We can probably talk. We can talk. I think we can talk about this after One Night Stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or after, or even after Clash of the Castle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Drew or Seth, who would be my pick right now, could factor in. KO could probably factor in. I would assume they'll probably give a spot to a New Day guy. I think Kofi would be a nice hand there. Even Woods getting a shot would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would be intrigued to see the rest of the group, though, 'cause I don't know where else they're going to pluck from. Like, could Gunther be in it? He could.
Yeah, I guess
Ricochet could be in it. He's free now.
Yeah.
Ali could be in it if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Theory could be in it, even if I don't like him. They're obviously pushing him too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say right now. They have a lot of intriguing options.
They do.
Which is good.
They do.
Yeah. Like, I guess for me, knowing that title is not there right now, or at least the title was on one person who's not going to be there, we're only going to be there so much, you kind of got to put money in the bank on folks that matter. So, mm-hmm. Chris, your two first, you know, folks you throw out. If it's not Seth, it's KO. Those are the two guys
yes.
who have held down everything for the last 6 months. And money in the bank's not fun. When money in the bank is on the face, as much as I love Mustafa Ali, as much as I love some other guys, money in the bank's not good when a face is holding it. It has to be a heel, especially if they're going to hold it for as long as I think they're going to hold it. So it has to be one of those two. And hey, if we don't get our Rock-Roman match, then we're likely getting Cody-Roman, which means Cody's going to go over because it would be asinine. As much as I love Roman Reigns, it would be fucking asinine for Cody Rhodes not to go over on Roman Reigns in WrestleMania, knowing all the story that they're trying to tell with that. That would mean you have 3 months from next year's WrestleMania to next year's Money in the Bank to have a cash-in. That's more than enough time to get a rematch in or two for Cody and Roman. And then whether it's KO, whether it's Seth, have that cash in, successful, bam, get a new feud going. It would mean a lot more if it's Seth, because then you waited to get the feud back popping, and that matters because it's a championship feud. Can also see KO just because KO's been fucking great. And it's amazing how he's only had one reign.
Yeah.
With the title. But yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. It has to be one of those two guys. It's uninspiring if it's any other male on that roster. For the women, I love Liv winning it. You know, going against my has to be a heels is kind of different for the women just because, you know, it hasn't really been an established thing, you know? So I would love if it would be Liv. Yeah. I don't see anybody else. Though, then, you know, maybe actually they can't do Natty because Natty's in the title match. It means, hey, we won't have a token Natty Money in the Bank one. Good. So yeah, that would be that. We'll come back to WWE in just a quick second. Let's talk about AEW. CM Punk won their world title. At the end of last month, Double or Nothing, he immediately relinquished. Or actually, he didn't relinquish the belt. He's interim champion. So they will crown a new champion. I have no fucking clue when, but they'll crown him.
Yeah.
Crown her ass. they also introduce an All-Atlantic Championship, which I guess will be given away in Chicago at Forbidden Door when they do that. They also let Broke Boy, Will Ospreay into the company, so nice counter for the best in the world there. But with the Punk injury, with with Cody Rhodes leaving AEW and then going on to be a bigger star back home in WWE, my question to y'all is this: is AEW losing any steam?
It's interesting because, you know, their top guys hurt. So I think, you know, automatically, yes. And one of their other top guys is in some sort of contract dispute, work, shoot, storyline thing with the company at the moment. So you want to say, like, yes, but, like, the TV numbers are staying the same.
They're pretty stagnant.
Yeah. I think part of the problem, too, for me personally is, like, you know, I don't have a connection in New Japan, so like every guy that's come in except for Tanahashi so far this month has been like, I'm familiar with him, but I'm not like excited to see him, and that they don't do a great job explaining things. You know, so that's part of it. You know, the rankings have started to be actively problematic and bad, and
I don't even think it's just that. It's just like, this is the first time that I can, unless it's really the first time I've actually like tried to zero in and pay attention to it, but this feels like the most that they've contrived and manipulated them in a really long time, if ever.
You know, the Owen Hart tournament winners just getting belts for some reason is strange.
I mean, Owen Hart winners in general.
Yeah.
Actually, don't get me started. Sorry.
So, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, I think, you know, once they get past Forbidden Door, you know, the first show after they're doing War Games, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's really interesting for them in particular, because when they only have, you know, four or five pay-per-views, there are a lot of things that feel kind of like down periods where you're just kind of getting to the next week. So, yeah, overall, you know, at the moment, they probably are losing a little bit of steam, but that's just, you know, based on the kind of wrestling I like, and it's just not for me right now.
I mean, as with anything, you know, everything is going to go with its ups and downs. I mean, they weren't ever a perfect company to begin with.
Yeah.
And they're certainly not now. I mean, it's just certain things and certain ways of going about things just have not clicked with me personally.
Yeah.
I can't say or speak for most of the fan base, but it's like, I feel like Forbidden Door didn't need title matches. I guess I get the why, but also like, it's just an attraction show.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's just an attraction show. And if you, I mean, like, I know there's always been these memes or whatever with Survivor Series, especially where, you know, they always have Raw beat SmackDown or whatever. So it's like, okay, you could have seen those jokes and you could have just kind of done like in, you know, a down to the wire type of thing where it actually would be cool to follow.
Yeah.
Where you could literally just make it AEW versus New Japan in that regard. And it would be kind of fun.
And that's the thing too. Like, I don't know that I'm going to watch Forbidden Door. If I was, like, the matches themselves are going to be good. That's yeah. just how wrestling is now. Most matches on TV are good.
Yeah, which is why, you know, WWE pay-per-views are typically great, because yeah. it's just the wrestling, and the wrestling is just getting better every year.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I know AEW's here this week, and I'm not going, so I guess if that's an indication, maybe they're a little bit down right now. But
I mean, yeah, with that, it's like, okay, do we really need to see the Hardys try and, you know, hurt themselves again in a ladder match?
Yeah,
after what cool. happened with him, with Jeff literally not remembering what happened yeah. in the match at Double or Nothing. Like, what exactly are we doing? And I don't need to really go too deep into detail, but I mean, their women's presentation sucks.
Yeah,
it always has. But the thing is, they're obviously not doing anything for them at Forbidden Door. Even if they did, it would feel so token. Mm. It wouldn't even be funny. So they shouldn't even bother. But they're getting an even shorter end of the stick now, and it sucks.
Yeah.
And I feel like committing to Britt winning the Owen Hart Cup was a lock after she beat Tony. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why this past week they had Tony go out and, you know, be like, oh, well, we're going to tease them having the title. Like, okay, I saw her lose 2 weeks ago. Like, you and your fan base always tell me that the other side insults my intelligence. Well, what are you doing now? I know you should have done this, but you didn't do something that would have made it even better 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and I mean, you know, everything else is just Thunder Rosa's title reign stinks. It's not getting helped by her wrestling Marina Shafir in a match they announced a couple hours before the show. And again, manipulated the rankings just to have Shafir, who wrestled three times this year, suddenly be fifth and win a title shot for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
the bloom is off the rose and some of their flaws are being more exposed, but that's just like any other wrestling company. And I mean, everyone's going to have their ups and downs.
Everybody will. I think that AEW, for this being 3 years in, has done a very good job. But, you know, not everybody, I think now everybody knows that it's not all sunshine and roses. When you have issues like MJF, where, like, whether or not their work is shoot and, you know, you're seeing it play out, you know, there's some legitimacy to that behind the scenes. It may be really disrupting or burning a bridge for somebody or other people who know that this is the leapfrog for them to get to WWE. And you might not want to burn that bridge because you might not know who you need around for now or in the future. And then, like, yeah, you know, Chris, all to your point, the women's division has a lot of growing to do, and it made a big boost in getting Athena but it's still a lot more work to do. Thank God you got Stokely.
Even though I will say, Stoke is great. I don't think Jade needs a manager. I think she's got this talking and trash talking thing pretty locked down.
I don't think it's necessarily Jade needs Stokely or needs a manager in general. But the enhancer, like Roman Reigns, don't need a
manager. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But, and to be fair, Punk didn't need Heyman either. So that's fair.
Oh, hell no. Yeah. But, you know, it completely enhanced what you're able to do because now you just put him with the best person possible, you know, to be your advocate, to boost you up and put you on that next level. And I think Stokes going to do that for Jade. But, you know, Jade is a shark swimming in the ocean with a whole bunch of guppies. So, yeah. and then the main person. God, why do they keep fucking doing this with Britt Baker?
Yeah.
Do you not fucking realize that people, like, generally are tired of her? You're doing the Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Without you're doing the things that make Charlotte Flair special.
Without being as good as Charlotte Flair, you're trying to do the Charlotte Flair, and nobody fucking cares about it. Mm-hmm. The only people it pops is Britt Baker and the people who are associated with Britt Baker. I really shudder to think that there are people out there who are Britt Baker fans. And if you are, I'm sorry for disregarding you. I just don't know anybody. And this is just me, my personal opinion on her, and what I see when I go online and I see people talking about her. I was at an AEW show a month and a half ago. Guess how many Britt Baker shirts I saw? Yeah, that was it. That silence right there was it. Why the fuck do we keep doing this to her? And then somebody like Ruby, who might as well just go back to fucking WWE. Were you in a better position now or back where you were in Stanford?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm. You know, I talked about her before. I don't know that anyone could have predicted Liv to be in a significantly better spot than Ruby a year ago. But she is. I mean, Ruby is completely cooked in that company.
Oh, no, but she had Danzig or whatever fucking band that was play her song down. No, she's
good. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you know her name is Ruby Soho because the song is called Ruby Soho. It's so fucking cool. You're going to have a band play the song for her. Yeah, fucking great. But, I mean, yeah, AEW still got some things to tighten up. Of course, it's not all sunshine and roses, but, you know, they'll be good, especially when they get some folks back.
Yeah.
Speaking of folks coming back, it's John Cena. 20 years of John Cena in a couple weeks. I can't believe they're doing this in Laredo, Texas.
Yeah, they probably could have planned that a little better, but
it's complete circumstance. It's because it's just literally the 20th anniversary.
That's true.
When he well, I mean, technically, it wasn't. It was June 25th.
Yeah.
But it aired June 27th. So they were cheeky in that regard. So
I mean, it's still cool that he's back. You know, if he wants to come back every year and just work SummerSlam.
Do we think he's going to show up at Money in the Bank? I kind of think he is.
Well, if he's coming back, he has to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he's not just showing up for Raw and missing the pay-per-view on Saturday.
I think we all know who he's probably going to be facing. And that's I don't know if any of us are happy about it. But
nope.
You know, it just, I don't.
There's so many people that are just a better use of his that man's time.
Yeah, and I know they're trying to get Theory, you know, over.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, even without all the other stuff, just, you know, he doesn't really do anything. Like
I kind of saw it when he first started, but then he just plateaued.
Yeah.
And his best stuff was with Gargano, and then they pulled him away from Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he kicks the shit out of Theory, who cares?
Right? Yeah, that's true. It's cool that he's back, though. I still hope he gets the 17th title at some point.
Yeah.
That's
what we're all waiting for, John. Come back and give us number 17. You know, do you think 17 needs to happen out of WrestleMania? Because, like, the older he gets and the more times, kind of like, let's just get it. Honestly, don't do it at a small show, of course. Do it at a big show. But
Survivor Series is in Boston.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that's a good point.
Well, if there's if it's not Raw versus SmackDown for the title anymore, because there's only one title, and you want to.
Well, I think it's going to end up being Bloodline versus Team WWE.
No, that's fair. But yeah, I mean, I don't know that it has to be at a WrestleMania, but also if you have two nights of WrestleMania, it could, I guess. You know, I like what they did this year where the main event of the first night was just kind of that legend spot. And I mean, there's only so many of those you can use, but, you know, you give Cena one, you know, you give Rock one if he ever ends up coming back. And then your, you know, night two main event is like your biggest current match in the company. And unless there's overlap, I guess, but you know, it's, it doesn't have to be a WrestleMania, but I do think having two nights helps.
Agreed.
All right, got a big week, a big 2 weeks in the world of pro wrestling because we got one of the greatest sequels to a pay-per-view that ever happened. ECW One Night Stand 2006, I think is the last thing we're talking about, right?
Yeah, I mean...
I was just making sure, like, we're not going into another week of shows before yet.
No, yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. Because how much are we, what are we rolling with here?
Yeah, because we got a little bit behind.
Yeah, we got very behind because we were unable to record.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I thought we were just doing the 2 weeks.
All right, let me see here.
I watch all the way up through June just because I'm a maniac and I wasn't doing shit. So I'm ready for whatever. Okay.
Yeah, because we have, like, through the end of May, I think, and then there's going to be the first couple weeks of June next week just because, you know, we got behind. And
okay. I lied to you. You got to wait on One Night Stand, but we'll get to One Night Stand eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll probably hope to record this week, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get back on track.
Yeah.
Okay. We're good, though. Figured it out.
Yes.
So yeah, we got to go back a couple weeks to the middle of May here. Your top five songs. Number five, Where'd You Go by Fort Minor. Staying at number four is Riding by Chamillionaire. Number three is Temperature by Sean Paul. Number two is Bad Day. And staying at number one is SOS by Rihanna. Your top five movies. Number five, United 93. Number four, Just My Luck. Number three, RV. Number two, Poseidon. And staying at number one is Mission Impossible 3.
Great movie, Mission Impossible 3.
Yes.
Mission Impossible 3 also had one of my favorite soundtrack songs. I don't know if you remember when Kanye, Twista, and I want to say it was like Selena Johnson came together for a song called Impossible.
Oh, that yeah.
It was the credit song on the movie, but they never actually released it. Like, mm-hmm. Come on the radio in Chicago all the time. You could obviously go download it from wherever you were downloading music at the time, but they never released it.
Yeah,
I never understood why. But.
Yeah, no, it is a good song. I have a couple pieces of wrestling news. They're filming commercial for SummerSlam 2006, and Batista and Booker T got in a fight because Batista allegedly was talking to someone from Raw and wanted to know when they were coming over because there's no one good on SmackDown. And Booker got upset. They got in a fight, and I'm pretty sure Batista kicked his ass. But, yeah, this is a big thing. They reported on it on the WWE.com and all that. And,
yep.
Yeah, just something that I wouldn't want to fight Batista. But, I mean, Booker's not a small guy, though.
No, he's not a small guy. You know.
But, yeah, that was our big story of the week. We get into Raw. May 15th from Lubbock, Texas, we open John Cena against Triple H for the WWE Championship. Triple H comes out and then Vince comes out. He's got great news. Not only will the WWE title be on the line, but the Intercontinental title will be as well, which means RVD is going to join forces with John Cena to take on Triple H, Chris Masters, and Shelton Benjamin. And whichever one of Cena or Van Damme get pinned, they will lose their title.
A little convoluted.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little doing too much there, but nevertheless... RVD took everyone out with a dive to the outside. The heels took Cena out and started fighting with RVD, but couldn't agree on who should pin him. So he wound up being able to fight back there.
Mm-hmm.
Cena got back into things. Masters and Triple H to the outside. He put Shelton in the SDFU. However, Chris Masters broke it up. Triple H pedigreed John Cena. However, RVD was still was down. Shelton covered him. scooped up his Intercontinental Championship back, and Triple H is not happy.
No. He hit Mike Chioda with Pedigree, and he's fired up. Trish Stratus here. She's got some unfinished business with Mickey. Still wants Mickey to come out right now. Mickey comes out, but Beth Phoenix cuts her off and starts fighting her again. So
yes.
Yeah. Shane asks Triple H to be in Kenny's corner against Shawn Michaels tonight since he owes Vince a favor. And also, Shane's a special referee in that match, but the Spirit Squad is barred from ringside. So he's trying to get some help there. Spirit Squad then defeated Snitsky and Goldust to keep the tag titles.
Mick Foley's here. He's got some explaining to do after what happened last week. He said that he's sorry for what he did. He wanted to say it personally to Tommy Dreamer. However, he couldn't be there tonight. So he's bringing out another old friend, texting himself, Terry Funk. Terry wanted to know why Mick did that to Tommy Dreamer. And Mick said that he's a second-rate ECW scumbag, and he is what hardcore is all about.
Yeah,
they are not. He showed it at WrestleMania. Mick cares about the honor of his legacy. He will fight for it. Terry said Mick is like a son to him. That's why he's there trying to help him tonight. Mick said that in 2003, he was honored at Madison Square Garden. He got the hardcore title. Everyone was there. Why wasn't Terry Funk there? Because he wanted more money.
Yep.
And Mick said that when Terry dies, he's not going to show up to speak up or unless they give him a lot of money. Because he needs that to go to a dump like West Texas. But Mick will show up. He'll spit on Terry's grave. And Terry started slapping him around, told him that his wife was a whore, said some other nefarious things.
Yeah.
They started brawling. Edge came out. Terry Funk fought off both. Lita hit him with a low blow. And then they hit him in the groin with a barbed wire bat and fully put the mandible claw on him. Effective segment here.
Oh, yeah. Very good stuff.
This was good.
You know, we got
Foley really turns back the clock in 2006. It's only going to get better from here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We move to Matt Stryker against Eugene. Eugene's got a giant hat on. Matt Stryker gets the win, and hopefully we're about done with that.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. Maria's with Carlito. Last week it was Carlito who almost beat Matt Stryker, but then Eugene got involved, and Carlito got mad. Carlito says he's got no problem with Eugene, but he shouldn't get involved in other people's business. Carlito's new shirt says, "Do you spit or swallow?" And he tried to explain the bit to Maria, who did not get it.
Really good. Really good banter anytime Maria gets stupid.
Is this the part where I admit that I had most, if not all, of Carlito's shirts as a 14-year-old?
My God.
Of course. Who else is buying those Carlito shirts?
That's true. Edgy white teenagers, of course they would.
Yeah.
Umaga destroyed a jobber. Yep. The crowd is definitely starting to be very receptive to Armando Alejandro Estrada, which is great.
Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Talk about somebody that they should contact.
Oh yeah. Great.
Try and get involved with the Bloodline stuff.
Right. That's fun. You brought back MVP, and MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking incredible. Bring back Armando.
You don't ever lose that talking thing.
No, exactly.
Once you have it, it's there forever. Shawn Michaels then faced off with Kenny, and with Triple H in his corner, Shane McMahon is the special ref. Late in the matchup, Shane held Shawn up and told Triple H to come hit him with the sledgehammer. He accidentally hit Shane instead. Vince came out and, was over the top with crying and moaning or whatever over Shane's fallen body.
Yeah.
So that was the way that they ended. That's the way that they ended Raw.
Yeah.
As if he was the prodigal son or whatever the hell they're trying to do. McMahonism.
Yes.
You know, we all know the prodigal son in Vince McMahon's world is Tony Khan. Yeah, I mean, it's a slow burn towards the reunion of DX, and they're trying to, plan that these two dudes still care about each other and love each other, even though they beat the piss out of each other the last 4 years. We're getting there, though.
Yeah. So we move on to
beating
SmackDown.
The piss out of things, apparently Gleyber Torres just hit a ball 120 miles an hour.
Wow. That's not great.
Wow. No,
it's not.
Jeez.
Poor baseball.
Move on to SmackDown from Albuquerque, May 19th, 2006. JBL's here to open the show, standing out the sunroof of his limo. Says that he has heart and passion like Eddie Guerrero did, but that doesn't pay the bills. On Sunday, JBL's going to take Ray's title, but tonight, Ray's going to be in action in the main event against a mystery opponent. First, we get a six-person tag between Eminem and Melina versus London, Kendrick, and Jillian Hall. Really fun, fast-paced start. The feud kind of is what it is, but whatever. Match slows down, and then eventually Jillian hits a top rope crossbody on Melina for the victory. Kurt Angle does pre-tape. You know, he's known Mark Henry since the 1996 Olympics. Kurt won a gold medal. Mark won nothing. Mark's been mad about that ever since. And Mark Henry might be the world's strongest man, but Kurt is the world's best wrestler.
You know, that's a good enough explanation for me to buy into it.
Yeah.
Bob Lashley ran through a jobber to tune up to face Booker T on Sunday.
Yes.
And then we had a tag team match between Chris Benoit and Gunnar Scott and the team of Finlay and Booker T. Finlay will face Benoit at Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
This was just okay. Brent Albright, as it were, is not that great.
No, not very good.
Which is a strike against the internet, who told me that he was good back then. Lashley came out, sat on the throne on stage. Gunnar Scott rolled up Booker T for the win.
Yes.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah.
They had Lashley win. They could have just had Booker beat Gunnar Scott. What do we need to give Gunnar Scott a win for? You're not doing anything with him. We know this. You don't even need the, you know, me to spoil it for you. You know they're not doing anything with him.
Yeah, that's true.
To be honest with you, I forgot who Gunnar Scott is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Brent Albright in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Which.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Why? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
really weird pick for the Ring of Honor guy from that era you're going to sign.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure the guy who he was tagging with or whatever may have had influence with that. But yeah, it's a weird choice of all the dudes from Ring of Honor that era. This is the one that you bring in?
Yeah.
God.
Daivari showed a video about how Great Khali ended the Undertaker's career and doesn't even know why Undertaker's going to bother this Sunday at Judgment Day. Mark Henry runs through Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy's been back for about a year now and not really doing anything.
Yeah, real fat pile of nothing.
Yeah. Paul Burchill tells Nunzio that he saw Vito wearing a dress last week. Still doing that. Rey Mysterio is here to find out his mystery opponent, and it's Kane, because it's May 19th.
And he gets destroyed again.
Yeah.
Because we need to keep beating Rey into the ground for some reason.
Yes. And then
there's a way to do underdog booking that isn't this.
Yeah.
God.
And then JBL yelled May 19th into the mic and also got destroyed, and I don't know why that's your go home to your pay-per-view is having a Raw guy.
Well, it's a walking advertisement for See No Evil, so.
Yeah.
They're gonna do their business. I'm sure it was.
You guys seen that movie? Is it good?
I've never seen it.
I can't say that I have. I've heard good things from a horror perspective.
Like, yeah, from a plot standpoint, it wouldn't be bad. I mean, Kane was probably good enough to do it. Yeah, I'm probably never gonna watch it though.
I mean, of course, why would I support that man?
Yeah, exactly. So move on to Judgment Day 2006 from Phoenix. Theme song for this show is This Fire Burns by Killswitch Engage, which we'll hear again very soon.
In about, when is that Hammerstein Ballroom show? I want to say it's either the beginning of July or the beginning of August.
Yes. So we open with Eminem against London Kendrick, finally getting their tag title match. London did a dropkick off Mercury and then in midair flipped on Nitro, which is very cool. Paul London does a sunset flip on Joey Mercury for the win. Mercury gets mad at Melina, and Nitro pushes Mercury down and fights with them, and Eminem looks to be breaking up now, but they're not really.
Nope.
So
they're not. Well, actually,
well, they will.
They will. They will, and then they'll come back together at the end of the year.
Yes.
Anyways, next up we get Chris Benoit versus Fit Finlay, a match you would probably see in mid-90s WCW as well. So they've at this point, this would have been like a 10-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
This was very intense and very physical.
It's good. It's like you'd expect it to be. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
and Benoit finally made Finlay tap out. I think the match went pretty long, right?
Yeah, they got a lot of time.
They got a lot of time.
Jillian Hall picked up a win against Melina, so not Eminem's best night.
No.
JBL says that he's going to beat Ray tonight. Chavo comes in, says that he's there to support Ray. JBL says that Chavo's going to see him beat Ray like he saw him beat Eddie.
Yeah, as it turns out, Benoit and Finlay got 21 minutes and 10 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
That's for mid-2000s WWE, that's like unheard of.
Yeah.
Especially for an undercard match
mm-hmm.
with no stakes. Then we move on to the Cruiserweight Championship match, right?
Yep.
Okay, Gregory Helms against Super Crazy. Unfortunately, Luis Gonzalez was shown before this match. I was not warned about this. Not cool. Not cool. They worked this match a bit weird to me, because Super Crazy's thing in ECW was always that he was, he always did crazy ass things. So why are you building this so slowly?
Yeah.
You don't need that. You could have just went high octane with this one. It would have been helped. I wanted to get into this match and I couldn't,
mm-hmm.
just because of the pacing. Nevertheless, did pick up a bit towards the end. Helms got the pin with his feet on the ropes to keep his championship.
Yes.
Nitro and Melina were yelling at Teddy Long about how they both lost tonight in unfair ways. Says that that's their problem. And Melina slapped him and Teddy Long fired both of them.
Yeah.
So where will they be going? Well, find out soon enough. Then we get Kurt Angle versus Mark Henry. I hope this match is better than the match that they had at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Kurt started kicking Mark Henry's legs right away. And Kurt's ribs are taped. That's a trope that I miss. I know there was a tweet yesterday from someone who was asking what old pro wrestling tropes do you miss? I miss the tape around the ribs.
Yeah.
I miss actually selling injuries for the most part. Wild thing to do. Mark was taking advantage of the taped ribs. Mark Henry kicked out of an angle slam at two. Kurt put the ankle lock on Mark, but he rolled him out of the ring. He went to splash him through the announce table. He moved. Henry got down, whipped him into the post, and got in the ring to win by countout. They kept fighting. Kurt did an angle slam through the table, but it did not break.
Yeah, so.
Didn't mind the finish.
No, it was fine.
It's for a non-title Kurt Angle Mark Henry match, you're better off with this kind of finish versus a decisive victory, especially at a pay-per-view like Judgment mm-hmm. Day. It's fine.
We move on to Booker T against Bobby Lashley, King of the Ring Finals. Booker goes for a scissors kick and Lashley counters with a pounce.
That was awesome. I must say, I forgot about that spot, honestly.
Later in the match, Lashley goes for a spear and Charmel distracts the ref and Finlay hits Lashley with the shillelagh and Booker gets the win.
Yes.
So Booker is King of the Ring now.
He is. And Charmel put the robe on Booker, but then Lashley came through and speared him through the throne.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the visual that you get at the end. I don't mind that either.
Yeah.
Because Booker's a heel. He won in a cheating ass way. He'll get his coronation.
Yeah.
This is good. I think they're doing really well with Lashley, I want to say.
Yeah, they are.
I think they have him on a good path.
Yeah. We move on to Undertaker against Great Khali. And Khali just kind of dominated.
Before you do, I was going to say, on Lashley,
yeah,
one of the best builds that they've done in a really long time.
Like, yeah.
Just from a strict babyface standpoint, really good. It's when they start to switch him to ECW that they fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, they're on a good trajectory with it.
Khali just kind of dominates Undertaker the whole time and pins him by putting the foot on his chest. Kind of weird. I guess they're going to keep going.
They do keep this going throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And we get to JBL versus Rey Mysterio for the World Heavyweight title. This match was okay. Rey won. It was the right man who won. And that's it.
Yeah. We're close to the end of JBL.
Yes, we are. We are. We are very close to the end of JBL, actually.
Yeah.
We will not make it through the month of May.
Yes. We'll finish the month of May right now.
Yes.
Move on. Next week, Where'd You Go stays at number 5. Temperature drops to 4. Ryden is up to 3. And Bad Day and SOS stay at number 2 and number 1. Movies, got RV dropping to number 5. Poseidon dropping to 4. Mission Impossible dropping to 3. Over the Hedge debuting at number 2. And The Da Vinci Code debuting at number 1.
I should note, there was a major sports story that happened that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That was the fact that Barry Bonds tied Babe Ruth for second place in the all-time home run list.
Oh, yeah.
With 714 in the second inning of the game between the Giants and the A's. The Giants won that game 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, you had on Judgment Day Sunday, the Pistons beat the Cavs 79-61. What a disgusting score.
Gross.
Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semis. So the Pistons are on to face the Heat, who had escaped earlier in the week in dramatic fashion against the New Jersey Nets.
Oh, yeah.
it was a thriller, 106-105. Dwayne Wade intercepted an inbounds pass from Vince Carter just as time expired.
Yeah.
Champions League has still got like another week to go before that. Wait, no, I'm not thinking Champions League. I'm thinking the World Cup. Sorry, we still got like
a week. That's I believe that comes in.
It's coming
right a bit later at the beginning of June.
Yeah,
it's coming like a headbutt. Okay.
So yeah, we got another episode of Raw here, May 22nd from Vegas. I believe it would still be.
Did they do Raw Roulette on this episode?
They
did not. I believe that this would have been at Thomas and Mac.
Yeah.
Because they did Vengeance at Thomas and Mac
at this point.
Yeah.
Vince is in his office to start the show. Last week, Shane was hit with a sledgehammer, but his superior conditioning and genetics prevented him from further damage. Still has a mild concussion. Vince says he's sure it was an accident, but he's going to demand a public apology from Triple H. And, you know, Triple H better be meaningful and sincere about it. So we get the intro, and Mick Foley comes out in a suit. There's a package in the ring. You know, Mick said he earned all of his accomplishments, just like Edge did, and he's giving Edge the hardcore title that they gave him at Madison Square Garden. Edge deserves it, but he doesn't really want it. And they kind of go back and forth and imply that they're going to have a match for it, but then they back down, just have Lillian announce them as co-holders of the title, and then Paul Heyman shows up.
Yes.
Basically saying that Mick is a prostitute and he doesn't mind if Mick prostitutes himself, but don't prostitute ECW like that. And Mick and Edge basically say that they're going to go fight Paul because he doesn't have any power anymore. So what's he going to do about it? And Paul's going to challenge Mick and Edge to a match. It's going to be those two against any two ECW originals.
Yep.
And they go up the ramp to chase after Paul, and it's Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk come out and brawl and get the better of them. So we're getting Mick and Edge against Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk at One Night Stand.
We are. And then we get ourselves an IC championship match between Shelton Benjamin and RVD. Shelton got the belt after a ref bump. RVD did a Van Damme to kick the belt back at Shelton, leading to RVD losing by disqualification. Kind of a dumb finish.
Yeah, a little bit. Vince in his office with ZZ Top, and he's got to go get his public apology from Triple H. So that's fun.
I always forget that they had they always had ZZ Top on their shows.
Yeah. So Vince comes to the ring and tells Triple H to come out there. Triple H says he's got two words for Vince. I'm sorry. Vince says it's good, but the apology won't be complete until later tonight when, after the Spirit Squad defeats Shawn Michaels, Triple H comes out and finishes the job with the sledgehammer.
Yes. And then we get John Cena versus Chris Masters. Cena avoided the master lock by hurling himself, and Masters to the outside, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then Cena eventually got the win with the STFU. Good way to just keep Cena level, having him face an over mid-card heel.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I don't need an explanation for it. It is what it is. And then afterwards, we find out why he's wrestling, because RVD is doing the honorable cash-in.
Yeah.
Doing the opposite of what Edge did to Cena 5 months prior. So Cena will be cashed in on twice in the history of Money in the Bank here. And they will fight each other at One Night Stand.
Mm-hmm. Twice within the same 6 months.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like
John Cena fucking hates that Money in the Bank.
He's probably been cashed in on more than anybody, right?
He's been cashed in on a lot. I think maybe.
Well, that's two. One cashed in on 07. Either time by CM Punk. 2010 wasn't cashed in on. 2011,
no, because
Del Rio.
Oh well, no, because Del Rio cashed in on
Del Rio Punk. cashed in on Punk.
And Brian cashed in on Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, 2012, Cena won money. He was ever cashed in on again.
Sandow did.
Sandow did, but he obviously
lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And yeah, I think that is it. But still, that's probably more than anyone else just by having three.
Yeah, did Corbin lose to Cena, or did he just lose the cash and attempt Styles or whatever?
No. Corbin put his on the line.
That's right. SummerSlam. That's right. Yes, you're right. You're right.
I forgot Corbin won that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I should just go back and Google it. So Cena technically won Money in the Bank, or did Corbin just lose it?
Well, because I think Corbin tried to cash in and it didn't work. Because he tried.
I thought he.
Oh, that's right.
He did. Yeah, no, that's right. He cashed. Yeah, that's right. He cashed in and lost. That's what happened. Yeah. That's what happened. Yes. Yes. Ugh. God.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You're right. Okay. Snitsky was waiting for a Vegas showgirl to arrive. It ended up being Goldust.
Snitsky, a nasty motherfucker.
Shawn Michaels backstage was yelling at Triple H, and Triple H said that he did what he had to do. Kane said that May 19th is when his family was killed in a fire, but it's over now, so it's fine.
Well, guess what?
It's not.
It's not over.
It's not over.
Kane beats Trevor Murdoch, and then his old mask comes on the screen in a cartoon and basically says it's not over. So keep that
Stay
going.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Mickey James versus Tori Wilson. The joke, of course, is, oh, it's a throwaway match in the final quarter of the show. Is this Dynamite?
Yeah, exactly.
Featuring the women's champion, no less. Mickey won. Trish came out, introduces Raw's newest diva, Beth Phoenix, who chased Mickey through the crowd. Basically, the story is that, you know, Beth was spurned by Mickey
at
one point. So,
Viscera comes out and asks Lillian to marry him. You know, last time they were in Vegas, they were together, and Viscera left with the Godfather. But he wants to make up for that. And before Lillian can answer, Umaga comes out and destroys Viscera.
This also was another case of the crowd being very receptive to the chant. Liked it. I liked it a lot.
I think Lillian next week is going to find herself in a storyline with Charlie Haas. That's coming up soon.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
The next couple of weeks.
Oh, no.
Knocks her off the apron.
Oh, no. You're right. You're right. I forgot about that.
So move on to Spirit Squad against Shawn Michaels. Ben says there's no need for a referee, so... You know, he leaves and it's not really a match. He's beat him up for a while. And they take out Sean's knee. Triple H comes down and Kenny's ordering him to use a sledgehammer. But instead, he beats up all the Spirit Squad. So Triple H is turning babyface here.
Yeah, he is.
For the first time since he came
2002.
Back. Yeah. So
since this whole thing started. Crazy. He's about to be babyface for much of the rest of his wrestling career.
Yeah.
Until... one fateful night in L.A. in 2013.
Yes. One more. We got SmackDown.
Yes. Should I advance ahead to anything in sports?
Yeah, what do we got?
Well, that ensuing Sunday, Barry Bonds hit his 715th career homer. A two-run shot off of Byung-Hun Kim, who is at the center of, like, three of the greatest home runs of the 2000s. It's kind of crazy that he was the one who...
You gonna throw Scott Brosius in there?
Yeah, really? It would be him and Tino and Bonds.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Like that?
Definitely. So he put him past Babe Ruth for second on the all-time list. He's only trailing Hank Aaron. But the Giants lost that game 6-2 to the Rockets.
Yeah, just a little history lesson for you. People were pissed when this one happened.
If
Barry Bonds eclipses Henry Aaron, who cares, right? Babe Ruth, after all you've done to disrespect the game like that. Yeah, people didn't like this.
No, they did not.
Kudos to Barry for playing as well as he did those final two seasons through all the mess and all the bullshit. And, you know, of course, Barry's hands weren't completely clean. But when you're dealing with a vicious media cycle that treated him like, you know, a fucking animal.
Yeah.
You know, to have to fucking work through that and then continue to be great. You know, tremendous for him, and obviously a great milestone because you're eclipsing, you know, at one point, the unreachable milestone. Now they're the only two dudes to do it. They're probably going to be the only two for a really long time. I can't see anybody, even coming close to 714 or 715. It's all history now, I guess. But yeah, people really did not like that when that happened.
Yeah, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. Also, just to look ahead, the World Cup began on June 9th. So when we eventually hit this, we'll be able to talk about that. And then on May 30th is when all the pre-World Cup friendlies begin.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, we got SmackDown yes. May 26th from Bakersfield.
This is a big show.
Yes.
Not the big show, but this is a big show because there's a lot of things that happen here that are very impactful.
Yeah. JBL's here, says that, you know, Judgment Day was the greatest travesty of all time. Ray's still the champion. JBL says it was a fluke and he wants a rematch right now. Ray comes out and says, you know, he already beat him at Judgment Day, but JBL's the United States champion. How come he never defends his title since he, wanted Ray to fight everyone all the time? And JBL says that, you know, it's his show and he carries the company and he'll face anyone. And, Ray says since JBL's willing, he's going to face Bobby Lashley right now.
Yes.
So get JBL against Lashley for the U.S. title, and JBL goes for clothesline from hell early on and gets speared and loses his title.
That is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Lost art. This is the way to do it.
Yeah, they really don't do that anymore.
No, they don't, but they should.
The big shock reveal, you know, for the mid-card, they don't do that anymore. The big shock reveal of the gaining momentum up-and-comer, a heel that you just want to see lose. You don't want to see them fucking wrestle or get in the ring. You want to see them get their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. That's how when it's done right, it's done perfectly. And it can only be done with a guy like Bobby Lashley, right? Like, of course, there's some smaller dudes who you're able to get it over as, but it's not as believable in a squash like that unless it's a bigger dude like Bobby Lashley, who's just a mountain and a fucking powerhouse and can – like, who now it would be a believable – for their first mid-card title. And it's hard because they just pass around the mid-card titles like they're nothing nowadays. But who's somebody now that would work with? If you do it right.
Braun?
Yeah, probably Braun Breaker. I mean, Gunther could have won
his first night in
and it would have been fine.
I agree.
Yeah, from the heel perspective, yeah. Gunther
Babyface-wise.
Because Gunther was protected entire way and just like slowly started beating dudes here and there. And then he gets the shot at Ricochet. They do that well. They're able to pinpoint a guy who is going to get heat and hopefully, I keep wanting to call him by his slave name. Hopefully Gunther can be that top. You know, I believe it was you, Chris, that say, yo, you might as well just break the honkometer, let this dude walk.
Seriously.
Like, that can be that type of guy. But they're good at pinpointing them sometimes. They're not good in practice and actuality of getting them to that stage. So I hope they can do that for Gunther.
Agreed.
But yeah, for the faces, Braun is probably the one guy that you could see it happening with. But they just have to do it right and not get the urge to do more with Braun than he's going to be ready for. You know, start him off slow, let him squash, give him a meaningful feud like they did Lashley. And then when he's ready for that big reveal to go out and go take his mid-card title and he does it, then great. Then you have something. You're on to something with Braun. He's probably only guy. Wardlow would be the guy in AEW. Maybe they're not going to do it now, or I don't know what's going on with this All Atlantic, but Wardlow would be a guy that would work with in AEW.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think if there's going to be another guy, I would say Julius Creed is a contender. He's 6'3".
As a single.
He's 6'3", 230. Okay. So, yeah.
Can see that.
I can see it. Maneuver forward. JBL told Teddy Long that he didn't lose the title. It wasn't an official match. But Teddy says that it was. And if JBL doesn't calm down, then he's fired. He said he wants to face Rey Mysterio later. And if he loses, he's going to leave SmackDown. Ted says that sounds good to him and makes the match. Then we get to Taka, re-debuting, I believe, facing and beating Simon Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy's with Teddy Long and Paul Heyman came in. And Teddy said that he doesn't like that, like or trust Heyman, and thinks that he's up to no good.
Yeah.
He may well be.
It's true.
He may well. And then we get an all-time great moment in SmackDown history, in wrestling history, because 3-6 Mafia played Mark Henry to the ring in this next match.
They did. Yeah. It's really good stuff. Again, we talked about how much he needed that theme song.
Yes.
His other theme song was very bad.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Mark Henry just kind of threw Benoit off the ring post a bunch. sure, it's fine. And then just kind of dumped him back in the ring and basically won by TKO. And Benoit was bleeding out the mouth and left on a stretcher. And he's going to be off TV for a little bit.
The first true inductee into the Hall of Pain.
Yeah. Yeah,
Ben, he's off TV for a while too. He doesn't come back until I want to say No Mercy in October.
Yeah,
I believe that that's accurate.
Yeah, and then it's gonna start getting real awkward.
Yeah, it's gonna start getting real awkward, real weird. Yeah,
William Regal's here. He's hosting King Booker's coronation, and just kind of goes off without a hitch. No one interrupts or anything.
Nope. Just
give him the crown and. Say all hail King Booker a bunch. And
hey, listen, he showed his ass on Sunday.
Yeah.
So give him a good coronation now.
Exactly.
Fine with me.
If Nunzio and Vito win their next match, they'll be number one contenders for the tag titles. But Nunzio is concerned that Vito's head is not right because all the rumors Vito's going around.
Discovering things about himself, man. Like,
yeah, again, I didn't realize it because I hadn't seen the show, you know, when I was watching it live. But this is right out of The Sopranos.
So
the same names,
yeah,
right. Of course, they're doing that bit. I didn't necessarily put two and two together until somebody posted on Twitter a couple years ago, and I'm like, oh shit, that's right.
Yeah,
same name, because it took me a minute to watch The Sopranos. I didn't watch Sopranos until like 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but like. Okay, let's just look at this from a 2022 lens, because that's all we can do with this crap. Nunzio is being a real shitty friend, because instead of being supportive of Vito and the things that he's discovering about himself at his big-ass, old-ass age, he's demeaning himself. He's changing. He doesn't want his Vito to change. His Vito was good the way he wanted his Vito, but Vito's not that way no more, man.
Yeah,
Vito is discovering new things about himself, and you need to be okay with that. You can still be tag team champions and still be great. Okay? So all you can... Anyway, that's progressive WWE values here on the Boss Chair Network.
And then they just lose their match anyway, so they're not number one contenders.
Exactly. They suck, it didn't matter.
Mr. Kennedy's coming back soon. They didn't say when, but, you know, fairly soon, because SmackDown's losing some guys.
And then he's going to go away, because that's what he does.
Yeah. Chavo tells Ray that he's going to be in Ray's corner tonight. I don't know why Ray needs that. Chavo's proven to be a loser. But, you know. Finley is in action against Paul Burchill, gets the win, and then after the match, we get a little leprechaun-looking fella coming out from under the ring and attacking Paul Burchill.
See, the funny thing, and Chris could attest to this, reading the dirt sheets, and
yes.
they were hinting that there may be a smaller person being hired mm-hmm. soon to play a leprechaun for Finley, and just like... How the fuck's that going to work? And then they got, what, 10 years out of it?
Yeah.
9 years.
Shout out to Swoggle. I mean,
shout out to Dylan Postal.
Yeah.
He did a good job.
He did.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
Fantastic.
Also goes to show that, like, you don't need gimmicks like juniors to be able to incorporate all kinds of people into your show and into your program. And I wish they would do that more. I think that, you know, I think it's proven that we've seen folks of all kinds, of all shapes, of all sizes that can perform. And it's going to come a time where you have to put Dylan Postal, Swoggle, Hornswoggle in the Hall of Fame, because he truly broke a barrier within WWE for smaller folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never even thought of it like that, but you're right. It's time for main event. Rey Mysterio against JBL for the World Heavyweight Championship. JBL hits clothesline from hell and gets the pin, but Rey's foot was on the rope, so the match is restarted. We get a ref bump. JBL goes against the chair, takes out Chavo, goes to take out Rey, but Rey hits a low blow and DDTs him onto the chair instead and pins him. And yep. JBL is not on SmackDown anymore.
Nope.
Let's go. Listen, if you were tired of the JBL 2 years of terror on SmackDown, this was the best thing for you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, again, they're going to have some fresh guys coming back in and it'll be good.
And I guess JBL, hey, he really did have to go away and go get himself right. So,
yeah,
it was weird, though. It was weird not hearing the music play and the horns. Of course, we would not have JBL, as we'll see in a couple weeks. Knowing JBL is, you know, quote unquote done, retired, whatever. It felt weird, but overall, fuck, that was a fun SmackDown.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts there. And that's mm-hmm. that episode. We got 2 weeks of trophies to hang out or hand out. I think we can kind of just, honestly, I feel like we can just combine the two and give it to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah. Bobby, hallelujah, you're king of the ring. We'll have to continue picking up what we have not gotten to. Because One Night Stand is a kick-ass pay-per-view. Even though it's not as kick-ass as last year, it's still a fun pay-per-view.
We should get through that next time, and then we should be caught up. I know ECW Sci-Fi is starting in the next couple weeks. That'll be fun to go back and watch.
Wait, that's actually on Peacock?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Oh, wow. I don't know if ECW head-to-head is, but I know that ECW is on.
Head-to-head. Remind me, what was ECW head-to-head?
It was a show the week of One Night Stand.
Yeah, Cena faced Sabu.
Cena faced Sabu. It was the one-off. Yeah. Okay. That's it was the one-off that they did.
Yeah.
That's the one. I'm sitting here thinking, like, did they do those with SmackDown at some point? And, like, it was really terrible. No, those are just the super shows.
Yeah.
Because at some point, like, they just had ECW folks coming on SmackDown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such a bad idea. Anyway, yeah, we'll dive into that bad idea very, very soon. Enjoy the rest of your weekends. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robin O'Neill 31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. The Barbershare Network, at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Get on the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. You can catch up on your summer sessions. You can go listen to that last episode of the Top 25 because we'll be coming back very, very soon.
Yes. Right
after SummerSlam, go talk about the second portion of this year. Already looking kind of hot, I must say so myself. 4040 Club will be back this upcoming week, so we'll be able to talk baseball, me and Scott, because we have a lot to talk about happening on 35th and Shields. It's been a minute since I've been able to talk about what's happening on 35th and Shields, and I'm very excited after recent developments to talk about what's happening at 35th and Shields. But enjoy the rest of your weekends. Like I said, look forward to all that coming up. For Chris and Rob, I'm Pierce. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll be back to get you caught up to speed on everything pro wrestling right here on Ruthless Aggression.